This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
You're back here with the Morning Run with Lynn and Julian. Now, we've been running a poll on the BFM Twitter account, that's at BFM Radio, asking you, will you take up the six-month loan moratorium? So we've had about just shy of 130 votes so far, pretty evenly split. 36% have said, yes, I need it. 5% have said, yes, not enough. 32% said, no, I want to opt out, while 26% said, I have no loans. Continue to let us know what you think. Now, in terms of other measures to try and mitigate the impact of the coronavirus and the movement control order, owners of independent food and beverage businesses have appealed for an economic contingency plan in order to protect their livelihoods during this MCO period. They are facing severely diminished sales, coupled with the normal costs of doing business, including ongoing obligations to pay rent, supply bills, wages, allowances, as well as other costs.
So in a signed letter, 100 outlets owners petitioned the Malaysian government for assistance. Otherwise, they'd have to implement pay cuts or shut down their businesses, as employers will have no means to pay wages and other expenses. Business owners are struggling to stay afloat amid the crisis, as their financial reserves will further diminish, especially after the extended MCO.
So the question now is, what can be done to assist them in this matter? And for more on this, we speak to Jennifer Ong, founder and CEO of Hapa Group. Hapa is a company involved in publishing events and training to support the hospitality, F&B and tourism industries. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, Jennifer. So what would you say is the situation on the ground for the F&B sector right now?
Right. Good morning. The situation right now is very bad. It's seriously bad because there are so many uncertainties. The F&B industry is very, very impacted with what's happening right now, and of course the consequences of the COVID-19 and the MCO. A lot of the F&B players are sidelined, if I may use that word, when it comes to the reliefs that has been announced by the government. It does not include F&B industry. And I don't think it also includes SMEs as well.
So what do you think is the solution that your organization is proposing? Because the more we allow people out to support eateries, the more the virus will spread.
Now, we understand that there is a need to do the MCO, right? I mean, if I was just looking at the numbers this morning, we look at places like China, which as of 23rd March, infected cases were 81,000, death is 3,002. In Italy, it's 59,000 infected cases with death about, 5,400. Whereas in Malaysia, you're talking about infected cases of 1,796 as of March 2020 and with 20 deaths. Now, the numbers are not anywhere near these countries, but we understand the importance of having the MCO to contain the virus. However, such measures taken for these extended MCO is having a massive devastation impact on all the businesses as well as employment. And if we look at the F&B operations, there are four main components that really burdens them, because it takes up to almost about 60% of their revenue, which are rental, utilities, taxes, and salaries. And these four will kill the F&B business in no time if the government doesn't step in to do something for them.
What about the announcement of the recent six-month loan moratorium, though? Is that going to help the F&B sector at all?
Well, it does. It has. In fact, the 6 months moratorium has been really, really helpful for everyone. Whether you're in business or an individual. However, I did hear that the announcement of the 6 months moratorium does not include loans given out by non-banks or DFIs, like HP Financing, Leasing, Agility, loans, BMW, Fuji Xerox, and companies like that. It does not cover. We also have to understand that businesses and individuals have exposure to such loans as well, not just overdrafts and business loans. And the other thing about the moratorium is that it does not include the interest. It is still going to be accrued interest. Now, all these is going to have a setback on all their cash flows, because what's happening right now, the most crucial and critical part we have to look at is managing cash flows. If this goes on, if the MCO goes on, if the government doesn't subsidize any part of this business, yeah, especially the F&B industry, especially the hospitality and tourism industry, the SMEs, these businesses will fall in 6 months. It will, because if you look at things like what the government has given to hotels, for example, they've given 6 months of income tax deferments. They've given permission to revise profit estimates for 2020. They've given 6 months of SST exemption. Now, these three taxes are a huge contributing factor to their cost, but it is not accorded to the F&B industry. And I cannot understand why. Why is it that the government can give these reliefs to the hotel and tourism sector, but not to the F&B industry and not to the SMEs? Now, we all know that SMEs contribute a huge amount of business to our country. And we have millions, we have thousands of them who have millions of employees. And if these companies fall, you're going to have a total wipeout of employment here in Malaysia.
Jennifer, have you worked out the numbers as to how much you need from the government in terms of actual amount of ringgit? And also, is this cash infusion going to be across the board to all eateries, or are you going to have some guidelines as to who will receive what?
No, I think, you know, the fact that I raised the point that why, you know, that my concern of why does the government give the reliefs to hotel and tourism and not to the F&B sector, that clearly shows that we're talking about the entire F&B industry here, you know, whether they're small or big eateries. Now, it doesn't mean the big guys don't get hit. They get hit too, because they have huge costs. They have rentals up to 500,000 a month. Now, if you know, any companies, you're not talking about having deep pockets right now.
Are you going to be more targeted if the government gives you money in terms of who to give the money to? And what is the right amount to give for the, I mean, you're talking about the entire F&B industry here. How much should the government allocate?
I don't think I'm in a position to mention a particular number, but what I have heard from a Facebook of a person writing this, yeah. But what basically he says is, I'm actually aware of the fiscal challenges, but if the government doesn't spend now, the situation will be far worse later. A fair and reasonable expectation is the government pledging and paying out at least 6 billion to 10 billion per month to protect jobs and stabilize consumption and the economy. Why is the government so reluctant to spend? Now, this is a very interesting read that I had. Somebody forwarded this to me yesterday, and I said, this is exactly what we're trying to get at. Now, you know, if you look at, we understand that the government has so many people to look after. We know that. Now, if you look at modelling excellence, we're talking about, you model how the government in Canada or France or UK are doing it. They are helping not just people, they're helping the businesses. There is no point helping people when you do not help the businesses, because tomorrow when there's no business, there are no employees, and you know, it doesn't matter whether anyone has any exemptions or paying any taxes, because there will be no taxes to be paid when there's no salaries, right? So if you look at things like utilities, for example, now why is TNB only offering a 15% discount to hotels and the tourism sector, but not at all to SMEs and not at all to the F&B? I cannot understand that differentiation of that. I cannot understand why is the government sidelining the F&B industry and the SMEs when they are one of the biggest company contribution to our country.
So, Jennifer, the second stimulus package is also supposed to be announced next week. Aside from a cash infusion, perhaps, what other kind of initiatives would you like to see the government take to support the F&B sector?
Okay, so I think to begin with, they should offer all deferments, all tax deferments, and all reliefs across the board. Don't have it just for a particular sector like hotel and tourism, just because tourism seems to be the big, you know, the biggest sector of the country. Just give, irregardless whether they are big companies or small companies or public listed companies, just give all deferments across the board. The government has to understand the next few months is very, very critical, because you're talking about cash flows. Don't put pressures on companies to pay full salary because it is impossible. Where are they going to get the money from? Yes, there may be reserves. There are only some companies who have cash reserves. Not all companies have. As you know, what the F&B industry, you're talking about up to 85% of cost going of revenue going back to paying salaries and paying rental and paying food ingredients and so on and so forth. They probably only have a 15% if they're lucky, right? And how much of cash reserves do they have? Now, these business owners are also human. They are also parents. They have kids. They have family. They have parents. They have to look after themselves as well. So if what we need to do right now, what the government needs to look at, the bigger picture, they need to ensure that all employers continue in their business and that so that the employees continue to remain employed before and after MCO.
Thank you very much for your insight this morning, Jennifer. That was Jennifer Ong, founder and CEO of Hapa Group, talking to us about some of the initiatives she wants to see out of the second stimulus package right at the end there, which is going to be announced tomorrow, in fact, not next week. My apologies. But right now, we are about to head into the 8 o'clock news bulletin. And after that, we'll be having the breakfast grill, where I'll be speaking with Dato' Sri Azalina Othman Said, MP for Pengerang. So be sure to stay tuned for that after the news. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.